All right.
I'm leaving that in the beginning. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show where we talk about sports and sometimes sports video games, but not so much lately. We should get some 2K talk in today. My name is Ad Robs, and I am joined, as always, by Burnsy.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
And Stevie J might pop in at some point. We don't really know. But it's an exciting day in the sports world, and I'm going to try to release this episode like right at noon so that all of our talk is relevant to today. It's huge, man. We've got Portland and the Nuggets have a game seven. The Raptors and the Sixers have a game seven. The Rockets don't. It's a very exciting. That's pretty crazy, man. I can't get over how crazy it is that they lost.
So, like, the question is now, like, okay, you like have to rebuild now, right? Like, that's what you have to do. Like, there's no way you can together now, right? Like, they didn't have KD, had CP3, you still lost. Like, you gotta blow it up now, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you do, man. Like, it's really upsetting. Like, if you're the front office, like Daryl Morey put together this amazing all-time roster that probably wins the finals last year if they all stay healthy, and so they make the decision to run it back, and then their owner makes like cap saving moves, you know what I mean? Like stuff that you just like, just absorb the luxury tax, dude. Like, I'm not saying James Ennis is the difference in that series, but like, they gave him up as a buyout, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna tell me they couldn't have used one more guy?
I don't even know if it was one more guy. They needed their guys to actually show up, but Chris Paul was not great. Paul was very, very bad. He did not show up for them at all, and they really needed him to show up. That's really like the big difference in this series, I think, is Chris Paul just wasn't there at all when they needed him again. Last year, it's like, oh, last year, oh, well, would have stayed healthy. Like, that's kind of like the whole point, is that like you're trotting Chris Paul out there for 40 minutes a game and expecting him not to get hurt. And that happens a lot too, right? It's almost like they are flawly built, if you think about it, right? Like, if you're playing Chris Paul 40 minutes a game, you're probably not gonna have much success.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Well,
not much
success, I should say. Not top of the success.
Well, it's just tough because like everybody will be in the Golden State era, everybody will be judged by how they competed against this like otherworldly team. You know what I mean? And that is kind of like crazy. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, life's not fair, man. LeBron owned us. LeBron, they were changing our name to LeBronto Twitter, bro. I don't feel bad for you at all. I don't feel bad for you at all if you lost the players. Sorry.
It's true.
Bad for you at all.
It's true. Yeah. So, no, it's the Warriors are crazy, man. And now they're getting a break before they have to play in the Western Conference Finals. I have a hard time imagining that the Nuggets or Portland beats them, but I mean, who knows, you know?
And no shocker here. The owner came out and said right after the game that he wants the team together for life, or the Splash Brothers together for life. So no big surprise there, but anyone that thought Clay was going to leave, they're going to be sad now. Clay is definitely after that game.
He left on 2K. So as you know, I'm on my second season of 2K, and the roster moves that happen in one season are freaking insane. And I know the NBA has like a lot of player movement, but like Klay Thompson, like I forget what even team, the Grizzlies. Like, I was playing the Grizzlies and Klay Thompson was lined up against me, and I'm like, what's happening? And then I realized like, and then, like, I'm playing with my team, and I'm like, who is number one? And then I pass them the ball, and they're like, Ariza? And I'm like, the Sixers got Ariza? Well, the roster move they made in my 2K was they let Redick and Tobias walk, and they picked up Trevor Ariza and JaVale McGee.
Hey! NBA, remember, address them properly. JaVale McGee now.
What happened?
I said, you have to address him properly. His name's he has NBA champion.
JaVale McGee. Yeah.
Just like Nick Young.
He plays for the Raptors, right, now?
Who, JaVale McGee?
Or is he Lakers?
He's on the Lakers, yeah.
Okay. Who's the – you guys have a McGee, too, that's terrible, right?
I don't think so.
No, there's like a – you guys have a deep – I'm going to look at this because there's like a deep roster guy you have that was like a process sixer that like got into a game in real minutes during this series, and I forget who it is. I'm gonna look it up. let's go to, do you, I have to be honest, I don't know anything about the Blazers Nuggets series. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a crazy series because you have like a two guard team pretty much with Portland and Cantor going as a team with like really good bigs. And like when Denver wins because they can't do anything about Millsap, Portland can't really do anything about Millsap. And then like when Portland seems to Colin and Lillard off having their game, so like it's gonna be a crazy game seven because it's same with Toronto and 76. You don't know like which team is gonna really show up.
Jody Meeks. Jody Meeks was the name I was looking for.
Oh, he was a process guy? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was like, he was the Sixers point guard for like their starting point guard for like a half season.
Oh my God. I didn't know he was a process. I thought he was even.
Let me see, because I'm gonna look at his history, because I know he's process, but let me
I wasn't very happy for it that way.
On February 18th, Meeks was traded to the Sixers along with Francisco Elson. This is 2010. This is such a process trade. Along with Francisco Elson in exchange for Primoz Brisic and Royal Ivy. Meeks finished his rookie season without a start, failing to gain more minutes than in then Sixers coach Eddie Jordan's rotation than he did in Milwaukee. Entering his second year, Meeks was expected to play a limited role behind Sixers second overall pick Evan Turner and Lou Williams, who was the starter in the previous season. Through the course of the season, however, he was named the team's starting shooting guard by Sixers coach Doug Collins, as Williams transitioned to, man, this does not make Doug Collins look good, as Williams transitioned into the six-man role. In just his second start, Meeks scored 26 points, shooting 9 for 16 from the field, including 7 for 10 from long range. Meeks continued as the Sixers' starting shooting guard for the 2011-2012 season, though he would lose minutes to Evan Turner. On March 27th, 2012, Meeks scored 31 points, a new career high. Okay, so he's kind of like pre-process, but like he is often used as like a, is that what you want to go back to type guy?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, he's a vet.
Yeah.
He's a vet. He's definitely been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I was happy there when we put him.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I think we're there then, right? So let's talk about the game between our teams, game seven. I'm absolutely sick about it.
I've been crushing me waiting until Sunday.
I'm not doing good, man. I like, I love my team, but like, I hate that it's like, I honestly like wish the series could just keep going back and forth. Like, and I know that's weird, like, because I obviously want like one team to win, but like, I don't want it to not be the Sixers. So like, I'd rather like, I mean, here's kind of my, let's do it this way. I'll do why I think the Sixers can win, and then you do why the Raptors, you think the Raptors can win. And you'll probably agree with all my reasons, and I'll probably agree with all your reasons, because we're both fatalistic fans who, like, just wait for the bad thing to happen.
Too jaded.
Yeah. For our own good. Here's why the Sixers could win. Joel Embiid's had 3 days off, doesn't have malaria, and is not dead. So those are all like huge pluses that go in the Sixers' favor. And you know, he like, hopefully at his most healthy, we get like game three Joel Embiid, who's like a dominant force on both ends. And basically what this is, the best case for the Sixers. Ben Simmons is driving, like, constantly, like, he's just driving the rack like he was in Game 6, like, where you actually see, and this is what's weird about Ben, is you'll see him, like, stop at the three-point line, or he'll drive, like, and it seems to be, like, I don't know, like, I know the uneducated basketball fans, like, well, why does he take to the rack every time, and I know there's, like, reasons why he can't, but there's also part of me that like watches it and says, why can't you just take it to the rack every time? So if like, when I say like, I think, you know, what type of Sixers game you're going to get in 5 minutes. Like, did JJ Redick make like a fading to the right 3-pointer? That's like, that's criteria one. Criteria two is, did Ben Simmons drive? Criteria three is, do the Sixers seem aware that loose balls are on the floor? And if all three of those things are happening, you have your good version of the Sixers. And if that team shows up And as long as none of the Raptors who were good for the whole regular season suddenly get good again. Like Van Vliet, my understanding is that he had a pretty good regular season for you guys. But if he has, and if Pascal Siakam can even shoot a little bit after his break, or like as long as Pascal Siakam continues to kind of shoot the way he has, which he just seems like he doesn't trust his legs because of the injuries, then Joel Embiid can hang out in the post and they can dare Pascal to shoot the long shot. They'll put Tobias Harris on Marc Gasol. They'll try to get Marc Gasol to shoot gun jumpers. And robot Kawhi Leonard has returned to normal Kawhi Leonard in the last two games. So if that continues, the Sixers have like a really good shot. Do I think that's going to happen? Like, not really. But so what do the Raptors have to do to win?
I think maybe three of the five starting lineups show up.
Yeah, instead of one.
That's gonna be the hard part here. Seems like we can't get like a consistent effort from everybody out of our roster, right? So that's gonna be the hard part. We're gonna have to try and have everyone else show up. I mean, Lowry's just gonna have to not play terrible. We're gonna need Gasol to actually shoot when he's open and actually hit them. Like, I don't know. I just don't feel I don't feel great. Like that game six was a disaster. It went very poorly, but hopefully that it was just an offensive aberration. Play a little bit better today at home. Play a lot better at home.
Yeah, I mean, how much does the home court matter with Toronto? Like, what were their home away splits this year? Do you know?
I don't know, but I imagine they're pretty good. I mean, the home court advantage is pretty good in Toronto, and they'll be going nuts for game seven. We have a pretty good game seven record, right? So.
What's the weather like there today?
I didn't even walk the dog or anything. It's a little overcast. It's not so hard.
Is it cold or is it like warm?
No, it's like
Because when
hoodie
they pan
season.
away
Hoodie
to,
season stuff.
I'm not sure where that is, like that the downtown area of Toronto where there's that big group of people watching. It looks like Siberia, like on TV.
Yeah, I
It
mean that's
looks.
the thing. A lot of people will be like, "Oh, are you gonna go to a game?" I'm like, "Ah, maybe if it's warmer. I don't know. Like, two or
Yeah.
3 hours out of the cold is not my idea of a good time."
Yeah, so the home away splits are interesting. Raptors are 32-9 at home. Sixers are 31-10 at home. So, like, yeah. I think the weirdest part about this series is it's like a 7-game series where there's been four blowouts.
Yeah.
Like the Sixers have blown the Raptors out twice, and the Raptors have blown the Sixers out twice. Like game one, I wasn't even sure the Sixers could force a game five. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like coming out of game one, you're like, holy crap, the Raptors are just way better than this team. And then like game two happens, and it's like, oh, Sixers hanging. And then game three happens, and you're like, holy crap, the Sixers are better. And then game four happens, and you're like, what is going on? And then
Yeah.
game five, you know what I mean? It's just been such a weird up and down series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like I almost feel like it's like we our team seem to beat themselves and
Mm-hmm.
more than we seem to lose to each other. Like we it's just like a part of our offense show up.
Yeah, no, your joke about like I forget how you put it, but is like we just need two of our people to show up. Like
Yeah, three of our five starting lines.
it's really
Perfect.
bizarre. Like if you guys get, because even game one they dominated, and they dominated by just having like two of five showed up.
That's really frustrating, man. Like I said, like when you see Gasol's 0 of 5 and Lowry's like 1 for 7, and like these things are really frustrating. These guys can shoot. They're competent NBA players. How do you completely disappear like this?
And am I right? Like Van Vliet was good, right?
Yeah. Like, but the thing about Van Vliet is like goes against that starting lineup. Like the only person he can really like hang with is James Ennis. He's not even the starting lineup, so. He's like just
Oh.
completely sized. He's just completely sized out of this series in the starting lineup, right? Like Redick can just shoot right over him. He can't keep up with Redick around screens,
So
and
it's
everyone else
reverse
is much
Boban.
bigger than him, right? Pardon?
It's like reverse Boban.
Yeah. He's small, right? That's the problem with Van Vliet. Like he'll be useful next series against the Bucks, I think. He'll all of a sudden be good again, and he'll be fine when he actually gets point guards. But in this series when there's barely any point guards on the floor, like actual point guards for your team. Like you guys don't even play McConnell. Like you barely even play McConnell anymore.
No, yeah, they, I mean, and that's what's been weird about like Nurse versus Brown is like Brett Brown seems like aware, like he seemed like he got aware earlier. I'm not saying because it seems like Nick Nurse has come around, but like Brett Brown's just running like a like 7-man rotation, and then he's like trying not to run an 8th man with like everything he has in him. Because like they interviewed him and they were like, well, who do you put in other than who do you put in other than like who spells Embiid? And he was kind of like, I don't know. Like
Yeah, because that Greg Monroe that Greg Monroe Boban combo.
yeah, not awesome.
That was pretty funny. It's ever since Greg Monroe got that.
Ever since Greg Monroe got that what?
Ever since Greg Monroe shot that 3-point shot, he hasn't been back in the game yet.
I didn't even realize that. That's so true.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to
Oh
me,
my
right? Maybe I have that wrong.
gosh. No, that's
It seems
totally
like ever
freaking
since Monroe sat there for a second, should I shoot it? Should I shoot it? Should I shoot it? And then he
Then
just
he
pulled up and shot
airballs.
it, and it was a total. I don't blame Brett Brown. Wrong. I've been a part of the Greg Monroe experience, but
How is that
that's
like?
really, really
I
funny.
don't want to hate because I am far from a professional athlete. I don't understand how plays like that are possible. Like,
It's a good question. I mean, it is a really good question.
it's so strange, man. Yeah.
I
Oh,
have to agree.
man.
But it's pretty hilarious, right? Like he sat there for really like 4 or
Yeah, like you're right. He really thought
5 seconds.
about it. That's hilarious.
I didn't realize, hey, nobody's even trying to close out on you for a reason. We're totally cool with you having that shot.
Just pass it in. I just don't understand how did he airball it? Like, I feel like if all I did was play basketball, I would have a decent shot of
I
like.
think it may have just grazed the back rim that he shot it. They have like just grazed the back of it.
Just, man, it's bizarre. Now, here's another question I have for you. Will the world explode with Toronto as the black hole if Ben Simmons makes a game-winning three-pointer?
I feel like that's low on happen. I feel like I'm to have and say the way that we lose, I feel like a game winning three from Ben is the thing about I don't have to worry that much, right?
Right. I mean, that's what I would think too, but yeah.
Crazier things have happened, right?
Right. I think it's gonna be it'll I was about to say it's gonna be fun. It's not gonna be fun at all, actually. You're gonna
No doubt
what?
about
Sorry,
that. I'm gonna
I
be
lost you for a minute there. You're gonna what?
yeah, I'm gonna be stressed as hell, man. Like I'm going to be on the edge of my seat, like anxious the whole time. If we get behind, I'm going to can't catch up. And then if we get the lead, I'm going to think we won't be able to hold it. I'll be anxious the whole time. It's not going to be a fun game. Not at all. It's game seven. These are fun.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like interesting. Like I watch sports for the sake of enjoyment, and I'm going to hate every minute of watching tonight, unless of course even game six, like the Sixers were up by 30, and I was like afraid to talk trash because I was like, I don't know, man, they could do it. Like I really thought that though. Like it sounds like I'm joking and I'm saying like, oh, you never know. Like no, I was legitimately sitting there like they can go on a run, they could bring it back. Like.
Anything can happen.
Because I'm freaking
Save.
crazy. Like,
After what happened in soccer this week with those two enormous comebacks in Champions League, it's like anything can happen.
no, it's so stupid. Sports are stupid.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Like, sports are just dumb all the time. Yeah. I mean, there's really not like, unfortunately, like, there's not a lot to talk about. There's just like, hey, there's a game set. There's a game seven. The winner plays the Bucks. The loser does not.
Yeah, and then in the West, who's gonna go lose a 5 to the Warriors?
Well, and here's what's interesting to me is like I talked to you about this a little bit in the chat. Like, it's really dumb how like the narratives that will be written as the result of this game, right? Like if what's his name? If the Sixers lose, it'll be like, oh, see, like Ben and Joe, like they weren't ready. You know what I mean? And like it'll be this whole like narrative that builds out around like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and their preparedness for the big game, right?
Yeah.
And then the alternative is like, the alternative, I'm literally doing a credit card reconciliation right now. That's why there's crazy paper trails. like my business credit card reconciliations are due today and I can't find one of my Costco receipts, which is unfortunate.
Oh no.
What did I buy at Costco for $4.96? Am I a criminal?
You went into Costco and you spent that amount of money? Like, what are you, a psychopath?
That seems genuinely impossible. Like, I don't even, like, I don't. What did I buy? Oh, I remember this. Okay. It just came back to me, and I think I actually already turned in that receipt. I used it as, we had a donation of several hundred dollars for a charity event, and we turned that money into gift cards for the silent auction at the event. And we went over by $4.96, and I used my credit card to cover the difference. So it was actually like $400 purchase. Okay, geez. I was really worried that I had to turn myself into the police.
Criminal.
Yeah, because who does?
Thug.
Who Thug spends rob. $4.96?
Yeah, an insane person. So we can also talk about the tournament happened on the weekend. The 2K League had a tournament in Vegas at their big, I forgot the name of it. I'm sorry, this is terrible podcasting. But
it's all good, man.
Their prize pool of like $200,000 almost. So pretty fun. The guys get to go out there and hang out in Vegas for a week and play the tournament. The Warriors Gaming came up with the win. Those are guys that some of the guys on the team I've followed this year, like Kena and Gradient. So it's cool to see them get a big win and get a big tournament win. The game was really awesome. They were locked in, and they had like the 76ers have probably the best player in the league, Radiant, and like they maybe had like five quarter. Like they were locking them. It was really awesome to watch.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome to watch. Definitely check it out. If you guys don't follow the NBA 2K League, you got to start watching it. It's so much fun. They get so hype off their plays. Like, you got five people yelling at each other across the stage from each other. It's great, man.
Well, it has, like, a real team element. And I think that's, like, what's lacking from Madden is, like, you can't, like, if you celebrate, like, with your boys, like, that I think it makes it so there's, like, more celebration. You know what I mean? Because you have, like, the team element.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Sure, right? It's just like Madden, it's hard to do that. And it's like who's gonna want to be like an offensive lineman,
right?
and if you play as like one wide receiver, like you're gonna get the ball in like a 6-quarter game of Madden. Let's say you play a 6-quarter game of Madden, you're playing a wide receiver, you may see the ball like all game and you're just out there running routes, blocking. Like, if Madden's just not a fun game, whereas 2K, it's like 5-on-5, you're always active defense. Right, like that's the thing about that, and
right.
That's why I think Madden is tough for that transition to that kind of a team game, because it's gonna be boring for a lot of people,
right? For like most people,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
That's a good point. I think at least that's why Madden's gonna have a tough time going into that like multi thing. That's why the crew stuff is kind of fun, right? Where you play as like group, but I don't know if that could follow like an e-sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, what's it called? Like, I mean, 2K is just so, like, even playing against the computer is fun. Like, I upped my difficulty this week, and, like, now we're actually, like, losing games. Like, if I have a bad game, like, my team probably will lose. You know what I mean? And it's, like, I like that. Like, I like, trying to make clutch shots to, like, win the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's not like, I don't know, it feels like when you play on that Hall of Fame, you'll cheat a little.
What'd you say? The computer cheats at Hall of Fame.
Sometimes I feel like you put on that Hall of Fame, it's cheat, bro.
I mean, I'm at, I guess my frustration is like the paths. I don't, maybe you can give me like a clue here. My like power forwards and my centers will have a pretty clear path to the basket, I feel like. And they will instead like fade to the outside. And I will, like, go to pass on the ball because I think, like, oh, they're cutting inside. They have position on their guy. And like while the ball's in the air, they fade to the outside and the pass gets intercepted and I get a turnover and it makes me angry.
Oh, there's probably just a couple settings. Like, it's like when you're out there, are you just freestyling or are you actually like trying to run plays?
I'm just freestyling. I mean,
okay, so if you're freestyling, then you, like, you may just like see that, and then like if you know how to like call picks, right?
yeah, you hold out one and then yeah, you work your way through the pick.
Yeah, and you have the pick and roll up. Like, he should always roll if you have him set to roll.
Oh no, it's not so much pick and roll. Like, pick and roll actually runs great, but like it's like when they're just kind of free cutting to the basket and it's like, oh, he has his guy and I'll like hit his button and it'll throw an interception. Maybe I'm just not like reading the defense well. Like, that is,
yeah, you could also send cuts, right?
Yeah, I don't really know how to do that because I always accidentally like, because you hold the, because there is a way to hold a button and then I can control his cut, but then like it's after a certain timer it like automatically passes.
Yeah, because like you once you let it go, it's triangle. Pro tip.
What'd you say?
I said it is triangle. Pro tip.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you hold triangle and then you use the left stick to guide the guy. I just think I just need to get better at it. I just don't think I have like the stick skill quite yet. but I just gotta like develop it and get it down because yeah, I was on a breakaway the other day and I tried to do like a self alley oop and he just threw it aimlessly into the air like he just like I was like oh, I'm all by myself, self alley oop, triangle triangle, and the ball, he just like threw the ball up to no one.
I was like, that's excellent. That's really awesome. And that's the thing. Usually, when you mess up, it's okay. You'll just laugh. You'll just have a quick laugh. But I feel like I'm mad at you.
Well, what's funny is I tried it like when we were like down two with a minute left. Like, so it actually like lost us the game. It was so freaking ridiculous. Oh man,
that's pretty funny. I like that. I like the end of it.
Yeah, it was like because I was trying to do like a momentum play, like highlight play type thing, and just didn't happen for us, man.
having a bad time.
So describe your day to me as you prepare for Game 7 at 7 p.m.
Probably okay. You know, try and get in like the mood. You know, get ready for some basketball. Do you know what time it's on today?
Seven Eastern.
70? Oh, I got all day to.
It's true. We got 7 hours.
Yeah, that's a long time away. I don't even know. I never play this far ahead. What about you?
So, well, I have to because like Mother's Day, right? And I have a wife and two children. So, it's Mother's Day. So the plan is I'm gonna go home here in a few minutes because, I'm gonna upload the pod after we finish it here, and then I'm gonna go home, and then we're gonna hang out. And probably just chill. My wife wants to, her, the only thing she wanted to do for Mother's Day was just like take out. So she was like, I just don't want to cook. And I was like, all right, can do.
And we can do this for you.
What?
Yeah, so we can do this for you. We can make this happen.
Right, we can make it happen. So we're going to go to our favorite place is in Lancaster City, and it's called Chop Sushi.
Ooh.
It's, are you into like Asian food? Because this place is going to sound amazing.
Into Asian food? Sushi guy?
Okay, so Chop Sushi has two options. You can do a sushi bowl or you could do a hibachi bowl. And
okay.
What it is there's like a rice base and you get it, you get like fried rice or white rice. And then you pick your meat. The meat options are like, you know, I'm gonna do it. I could just Google the menu. Give me a minute. Really high quality podcasting here.
yeah, like what people want.
Just the best stuff. Yeah, but this place is like, I'm excited to eat there. Like, I mean, the short version of it is it's like a Chipotle that does Asian food. So you pick a base. You either pick white rice or fried rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add veggies. You add the veggie choices are for the white rice bowl, for the sushi bowl, cucumber, onion, carrot, edamame, avocado, jalapeno. And then you pick your protein, which is tuna, salmon, spicy tuna, yellowtail, crab, or shrimp. They have sauces, a sweet soy sauce, a sriracha aioli sauce, a wasabi aioli sauce, yum yum sauce, or ginger dressing. And then
Well, that does sound.
you top it with cilantro, green onions, masago, which are those eggs that come on sushi, sesame seeds, green pepper, seaweed flakes, or Hawaiian sea salt. And then there's some extras that they do. And they also have like this red like vinegar cabbage that tastes kind of like kimchi, but isn't. And it's freaking amazing. And
Oh,
then,
that place does sound deadly.
oh, it's so good. I'm like my mouth
What's it called?
watering as
What's
I
it called
describe
again?
it. Chop sushi.
Chop sushi. I don't think.
It's not a chain. It's in Lancaster City, Pennsylvania. Like that's like the one in the world. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
It
That's
could be.
no fun.
It could and should be a joint chain. Hibachi, you get a fried rice base, then you get squash, mushroom, carrots, or onions, and then you can get steak, shrimp, chicken, or tofu, and then the same sauces, the same toppings. My go-to is I do steak and chicken, and then I do onion, the fried onions, mushrooms, and carrots, and then I do the sweet soy is really good, and then I do yum yum and their sriracha aioli is like spicy, so I do like a little bit of it, and then I do cilantro, green onions, the kimchi stuff, the masago, the sesame seeds, and that's it. And it's so good, like you get full about like 3/4 of the way through, and then you force the last quarter down because you're a fatty. Like that's like that's what happens every single time.
Real time.
It's so good. I'm like my I'm having trouble talking because my mouth is watering from talking about food. So yeah. So
This
that's my
guy kills
plans.
me, bro.
So and then I'm gonna eat.
That's he's ready to go.
I'm gonna eat and then I'm gonna come home and then hopefully then it's about 6 o'clock and then we settle in. 7 o'clock we'll turn the game on. At 8 o'clock my wife will make me start live streaming it because her favorite show comes on. So I'll be about 20 seconds behind everybody else. which like means I'm usually pretty much in time with Twitter. like
Yeah, that's what I usually watch live stream, so I should
Yeah.
watch the. I'm usually.
Now, do you guys still have local commentators for this round?
Yeah, still have like a. We have our Canadian channel here that broadcasts, right?
We don't. Like, you lose in America, you lose your local commentators after. You have your local guys for round one, but we had to watch ESPN for ESPN and TNT for this whole series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
So
don't mind TN.
were you watching national or local for the last game?
I use the local as long as there's not a certain commentator we have. We have a commentator here in Toronto named Jack Armstrong that he's like a love or hate kind of guy in our category.
You're firmly in the hate camp.
Solidly in the hate camp.
So Doris Burke did game six, and I am a guy who is a big fan of like the idea of female sportscasters. Like I think it's really great. Like I think young women should like be able to aspire to be sportscasters. And so like I love what Doris Burke represents. Like and I really do mean that. Like I'm not like I almost feel weird saying but after that because I really do believe that. But man, I hated her in game six.
Why'd you hate DB outdoors?
Because like she was just like it seemed like the Sixers killed her dog in front of her or something. Like I've never heard a commentator.
Bro, one of the funniest things I ever I go to broadcast. One of the funniest things I ever hear is that if you actually think a broadcaster has personal vendetta against your team, it's one of the funniest, like the Doris Burke's like 25 years. Why do you think you? That's so funny, bro.
No, Doris Burke hates the Sixers, so I'm convinced. I'm dead
Heard it here
serious. You're not
first.
going to convince
Heard
me
it here.
otherwise.
Yeah, just hates our team. Hates
Just
our
hates
team.
us.
Oh, okay.
So
I guess.
there was. So let me tell you how I know. Let me give you all of my evidence. Exhibit A.
Yeah, the presenting evidence.
In the first quarter, when Kyle Lowry had the ball and it rolled down his fat body, and I always like, for feel like I have to be careful when I joke about Kyle Lowry because he seems like the type of guy who would read my tweets and fight me.
Yeah, he's from Philly. Why you're talking about refs? Like,
and he would. Let me be very clear. That wouldn't be much of a fight. Like, Kyle Lowry would give me the business.
Yeah, he's a professional athlete.
He's a professional athlete, and he's probably tough. Like, I mean, I think he's like, I don't think he's one of those guys who's fake tough. Like, I think he's real tough.
Yeah, like, routinely gets stuck in the post against 7 foot guys and never backs down against a normal human being. Pretty sure.
I think he's tough. So the ball rolls down his body and goes out of bounds. And gets called out of bounds on one of the Sixers. And Doris Burke goes, huh, that's strange. That looked like it like hit Kyle Lowry. And a couple seconds later, the Raptors make a three-pointer in a game that at that point was like a 10-point game. So it was a pretty important play that like really went the Raptors' way in terms of like officiating. And then later in the game, James Ennis is dribbling up the sideline. And Marc Gasol puts his body, like, it looked like it could have been called a block, but, like, it, you know, whatever, puts his body in the way, and
yeah.
James Ennis runs into him.
Ball, Ennis dribbles the ball right out of bounds, somehow called it out on us. Yeah, I know exactly what.
Yeah, so the first play.
I know exactly what play.
The first play, Doris Burke was like, oh, well, like, that looked like it hit Kyle Wright last. Like, no harm, no foul. Like, people make mistakes all the time. I don't know what they saw. The second play, I mean, Doris Burke had a 3-minute conniption about that call. Right? She was like, what are we even doing here? Like, what are we? I mean, that's so clear. I don't understand what they're saying. And like the other commentator is like, well, maybe. And he's like, no, that's his hand. Like, she was losing her mind over this call.
But like a ball. Clear bounce off Kyle Lowry, and you're comparing that to Marc Gasol being 3 feet away from the basketball, and they called it out on.
I mean, it seems complicated.
I have to disagree with you on that one.
How do you feel about
feet away from the basketball?
Let's pivot since you're totally convinced.
That's clear that Marc Gasol was 3 entire feet away from the basketball, still somehow it was out on him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad call. But my point is they both were equally bad calls. What's his name? Let's pivot into the flagrant foul situation for Joel Embiid. Did you feel like him slapping Gasol in the face was a flagrant, or did you think that was just like they're playing basketball?
They're just playing.
Yeah. I thought like maybe common foul, but the idea, the fact they called that a flagrant, and now we're in a situation where if like Joel gets another flagrant, which apparently can happen when he's just playing a basketball game, like it isn't even like he needs to do something to get a flagrant. Like, here's I guess my thing: like the tripping call on Siakam was a flagrant one. The Jimmy Butler pushing somebody into the stands was a flagrant one. That shouldn't be the same call as like we're posting up for a rebound and I accidentally slap Marc Gasol in the face. You know what I mean? Like those can't be the same thing.
I accidentally in air quotes, right? You did that, right?
You accidentally what?
I said you put accidentally, right?
Yeah, right. Right. I guess that's
accidentally.
I mean, here's the thing though. It's like a 20-point game at that point. Like, there's no reason for Joel to be like chippy. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like, as far as you can tell, like there wasn't like back and forth between him and Mark. Like, Joel's not like a like Mike Scott type player. You know what I mean? Like, or a mm-hmm. like Jared Dudley type player, or like even like a Draymond type player. If anybody on our team is that guy, it's like Jimmy. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess I can't complain too much because like Jimmy does draw some pretty crazy fouls.
No comment.
No comment there. Okay.
No comment there. I'm not gonna whine about.
Yeah.
Won't do it.
I know. I said on this podcast you can't max out Jimmy Butler. I've never been more wrong about something in my life.
Yeah, he's definitely been your. I don't think that's debatable.
No, max him out tonight. Give him the check at halftime. Like, I, you know what I mean?
100%.
Like, I.
Yeah, I just hope he playing like a Jedi mind trick, the way he's talking about his teammates. That's all. I hope he actually really does like the guys and likes how hard they're working. Not just trying to like rehab. That's the only thing I'd be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, if he's just faking it.
Not his play anymore.
If he's just faking it until he gets the contract.
Sorry, go ahead.
If he's faking it until he gets the contract is your point.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'd worry about. He's done it almost everywhere he's been, so I'd be a little bit worried about it. But, I mean, the way he's saying all the right things, can't be mad at him.
Right. All right, man. Well, let's go ahead and call it.
Okay.
I appreciate you. I'm excited. We probably won't be able to be friends tonight, but that's okay. We'll be back tomorrow. and we'll be back next week.
I was thinking we could, like, even if you're busy tomorrow or tonight or something, we could even do a quick little emergency 5-10 minute podcast. We talk about the 2-1.
I'm okay with that if the Sixers win.
we're both okay with we're okay doing it then.
Yeah, I'm not cut out for it if not.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I'll see you next week, and we will see all of you next week. Thank you for listening and subscribing and reviewing and all of that, and we will talk to you next week. Bye, guys.